Hello, hi. Now, the student council was here, but you all need to see your priorities, period. Now, let's move on to... Well, I wanted to tell when Julie was here. But, okay, so now the cruciate anastomosis. Cruciate anastomosis may not even be found in everybody, but cruciate anastomosis helps if there is a ligation of the femoral artery, or if there is an obstruction of the femoral artery. Ligation means tying. Ligation means tying. It's ligation. Okay? And so that helps. Why would it help? It's because when you look at the cruciate anastomosis here, cruciate anastomosis, the vessels forming the cruciate anastomosis, I have given there. What are those? Medial lateral circumflex, inferior gluteal, and the first perforating artery. That's why one of the things I include the perforating arteries, not for you to memorize, but they participate in some anastomosis. And you already know anastomosis. And so here is the, you know, the first, you know, perforating artery coming from the deep artery of the thigh, or the profunda femoris artery of the thigh, and it's piercing structures here and going, you know, someplace else. And then here you have, you know, the branches of your lateral, you know, femoral cutaneous artery. I mean, not cutaneous, lateral femoral, lateral circumference femoral artery, medial circumference femoral artery. And then there is this one, the inferior gluteal artery. While you've seen the inferior gluteal artery in the gluteal region, inferior gluteal artery, what is the inferior gluteal artery a branch of? As you look at it here, if I tell you the inferior gluteal artery is coming from the pelvis. If I tell you the inferior gluteal artery is coming from the pelvis, you see the inferior gluteal artery here. Here is the inferior gluteal artery here. Okay? And it's coming from the pelvis. It has exited pelvis through the retrosciatic foramen. So what is the inferior gluteal artery branch of? Internal iliac. Coming from within. Okay, let me clarify that, because some people may think it's the external iliac. So here, let me take you through here. Okay, here, look at these vessels here. As you look at these vessels here, this is the posterior view of, you know, the lower abdomen and the, what do you call, the pelvis. This is the abdominal aorta, right and left common iliacs, and the right and left common iliac dividing into, you know, internal iliac and external iliac. Internal iliac and external iliac. So here is the external iliac, and you've seen the external iliac in front of the thigh, you know, becoming the femoral artery. And the internal iliac artery, which is here, internal iliac, this is the inside of the pelvis. That gives several branches to structures in the pelvis, as well as some of its branches, for example, the superior gluteal artery, the inferior gluteal artery, the pudendal artery, which we will study later, are all coming from the internal iliac. Okay, as you look at them, so the this one's from, you know, here, the internal iliac is exiting, I mean, not the internal iliac, the inferior gluteal is exiting from the pelvis, coming out, you know, here, where is the, this one here, coming out into the gluteal region via the greater sciatic foramen. And not only it comes out and supplies to muscles and structures in the gluteal region, it also anastomosis with branches of your lateral circumflex, your medial circumflex, and your first perforating arteries. Now, lateral circumflex and medial circumflex are branches of what? Prakhanda Femoris, which is a branch of
femoral artery.
And femoral artery is the continuation of the external iliac. And so what have you seen? The anastomosis between the external iliac artery and the internal iliac artery around this region here, around the head and neck of the femur, as you look at it, you know, here, you can see in this region, not only the head and neck, but also other parts. Lateral circumflex and middle circumflex, and that is, you know, coming here, but the other anastomosis is also here. So when you have an anastomosis like that, what you can figure out is that if there is a ligation of this one here, that means the femoral artery, say there is a damage to the femoral artery or ligation, something, blockage, something happened, then you can have some blood supply going to the structures, you know, of the thigh via the anastomosis there, which is called the cruciate anastomosis. Cruciate meaning what? What do you understand? Yeah, crossing. You know, the crossing, cruciate anastomosis. So the cruciate anastomosis is going to ensure that there is, you know, blood supply to the lower part of the thigh, you know, here, if this artery is going to be ligated. So that is important. But at the same time, you have to be aware that everybody, for some reason, doesn't have this anastomosis. But are there structures going to die off, are going to be necrotic? No. What will happen is, if that anastomosis doesn't exist, there are also, even if it exists, there are several other arterial anastomoses, yes, anastomoses existing, which means, you know, the hip, you know, joint, the hip region, and as you see here, all along here, from the gluteal region all along here, there is several anastomoses which we don't even talk about. Okay? So the structures are not going to die off just like that. Okay? And so, then that is the cruciate anastomosis, and, you know, what are the main arteries that are, you know, really supplying blood to. Okay? Then we also have an obturator artery. Obturator artery is coming out of the pelvis. So it's coming out from within the pelvis. What is it a branch of? Internal iliac. So it comes out and it's coming out via the obturator, you know, obturator foramen is here, but obturator canal in the pelvis. You would see the obturator canal when you do the pelvis, okay, right along the pelvis there. And then it comes out in this region, and it also gives a branch, you know, to the region of the femoral neck, you know, and head region, femoral head. Remember the round ligament of the head of the femur, you know, carries a vessel that's a branch of the obturator artery, branch of the obturator artery. And so that is the obturator artery. You will find that in the adductor canal, you know, that not the adductor canal, you will find that in the adductor muscles, like among the adductor muscles, you see some of the branches of the obturator artery. And then, when you look at the outline, you would find that I put some questions, you know, so that you make you think. Anastomosis, when we talk about anastomosis, is it only arterial anastomosis? Can veins also anastomose? Yes or no? Yes, veins also anastomose. So anastomosis, is exist among arteries as well as veins, and venous drainage of the lower limb. Venous drainage of the lower limb. When we come to the lower limb, there are superficial veins and deep veins. Superficial veins and deep veins. Here, we have looked at the deep veins. You already know about the deep veins. Okay. Now the deep veins. Where do you expect to see the deep veins in the thigh? Where do you expect to see in relation to what? The deep artery is your femoral artery. So you have the femoral vein. Femoral vein is a deep vein. Femoral vein is a deep vein. And then you have what is called your profunda femoris vein. How would you classify that one? Is that a deep vein? Yeah, it's a deep vein also. And so femoral vein, what is the source? That is a good question. What is the source of the femoral vein? Yes, Vicky. Pretty vein. I saw her mouthing off. And so that is Vicky Winston. Is she? That's her last name. Vicky Winston. So the femoral vein, remember the femoral vein is coming from the popliteal fossa through your adductor hiatus into the adductor canal and into the thigh, coming into where? To the femoral triangle, into the femoral triangle. And so that is the femoral vein. And so the source of the femoral vein is your popliteal vein. The tributaries, what do you understand? Do you understand what are tributaries? Tributaries are the same as the branches for the arteries and tributaries for the veins. Okay? Branches, arteries branch, go. And the veins, you know, are gathering. They're gathering. So that's tributaries. Okay? And so the location, medial to the femoral artery. And relationship to surrounding structures, you know, there's what are the surrounding structures, your muscles, your nerves, veins, everything is going there. Relationship to the femoral sheath. That is an interesting point. Relationship of the femoral vein to the femoral sheath, femoral artery, femoral nerve, and so I will take you through the femoral sheath in few minutes, but I'll take you through the rest of them, then I'll come back, because I'm going to do the femoral sheath colorant with you, because I have a colorant packet of that. I'll do the femoral sheath at the time. Okay. Femoral artery, what is its relationship? You know it is medial. You know, that the femoral vein is, you know, medial, and the artery is, remember Sarah asking the question, van, you know, is that a pie? You know, vein, artery, nerve, van. You know, remember Sarah Cortez asked that question in the second class or so. For the major arteries, it's applicable, not for everything. Femoral nerve, more lateral, you know, to the femoral, you know, vein function. What does the femoral vein do? Generally speaking, what does the femoral vein do? Carries what? Venous blood from the lower extremity. Venous blood from the lower extremity, and it is receiving what superficial veins go into the femoral vein. Yes, great saphenous directly, right here as you see here. Are there any, okay, here you can see here. Here is the great saphenous vein going right into the femoral vein here. So great saphenous is a, you know, superficial vein, and it is going in there. And also, let me see, the profunda femoris vein also goes into the femoral vein. And the profunda femoris vein location, you know, is in the femoral triangle, terminating, you know, into the femoral vein. Superficial veins, you've seen the great saphenous vein. Great saphenous vein, where does it begin? What's the beginning of the great saphenous vein? This is a very simple thing, but people often make a mistake here. That means, look at this one here. This is the dorsal venous arch. What did you understand? Dorsal venous arch. Tell me, what do you understand? Dorsum of the foot. On the dorsum of the foot, you have a venous arch. Dorsal venous arch. Okay? And we have one on the hand here, one on the hand here, you know. So dorsum, on the dorsum of the foot, you have that arch here, dorsal venous arch. We'll do the dorsal venous arch when we come to the foot. Right now, dorsal venous arch, from the medial end of that dorsal venous arch, you have the beginning of your great saphenous vein coming here. But look at its tributaries. It has lots and lots of, you know, tributaries coming into it, dumping into it, and it comes through here, and it dumps into the deep vein. So what is the route of the blood flow in the body here? How is it flowing? What is the, yeah, from the superficial to the deep, superficial to the deep. That's number one, superficial to the deep. And so it is collecting blood, venous blood from which part of the lower, which structures of the lower limb is the superficial vein. Remember, its name is superficial vein. So it's collecting blood from what structures, generally speaking, is your answer. The superficial fascia, the superficial structures, the superficial fascia, you know, there's fat and all those things. So this is the subcutaneous tissue of the lower extremity. Subcutaneous tissue of the lower extremity from the medial part of the foot right here, right along here, and emptying right into your femoral vein at what opening? At what opening is it going in here? Saphenous opening or the fossa ovalis. Fossa ovalis or the saphenous opening. So here, saphenous opening, because it's a saphenous vein, saphenous opening or the fossa ovalis. What does that mean, ovalis? Fossa ovalis. Oval fossa. Fossa ovalis in English, oval fossa, an oval-shaped fossa, and you can see that. The fossa ovalis is right here, or the saphenous opening. It's not round, it's, see here, this one, see here? Like that, that is the saphenous opening, or the fossa ovalis. And at the fossa ovalis, you know, so if you have that fossa right here like that, it's not just sitting wide open. It has kind of a sieve, like the sieve. You know, it has, that means it has what is called, so let me put it, it has some fat, loose fat and fascia. So this is what is called the cribriform. Cribriform. Cribriform fascia. Or cribriform plate. Cribriform means the sieve. This is what it means, sieve. This cribriform word will come again several times in the third quarter in the head, when we deal with the head. We will have the cribriform plate and cribriform this, that, whatever. Okay, there are places there that it will, you know, it will come to. Okay, so that is why I wrote it down, so it is, you know, easy for you to know the word and, you know, keep in mind. And so to follow the outline then, let me take this off, and superficial veins, I've gone over that. And so let me go here. What areas are drained? I have already covered what areas are drained by the, what do you call, the great saphenous vein termination into the deep vein, which is the femoral vein there. And saphenous varices. This is very important, you guys. Saphenous varices. This is a clinical point that is very important, you know, for a physician to know. Saphenous varices. Okay, from the name, what do you understand? Saphenous varices. Saphenous varices. Take the terminology and tell me. Varicosity of the saphenous vein in the femoral triangle, in the femoral triangle. So varicosity of the saphenous vein in the femoral triangle. So the varicosity that you will find as what? What will it see as? What would you feel it as?
Soft.
Kind of a soft lump. Kind of a soft lump in the femoral triangle. Soft lump in the femoral triangle. And so why do you think I am paying attention to this saphenous varix in the femoral triangle? What's the reason? Why should you know the saphenous varix? The hernia, yes. It's the site is also the very close to where you can have femoral hernia. Femoral hernia. Femoral hernia is there, and so you can have an enlarged lymph node, superficial inguinal lymph node there, saphenous varix there, you can have a hernia there. You know, femoral hernia, because the femoral canal that we are going to do pretty soon, femoral canal is, you know, pretty close to this area here. So you as a physician, when you have some of you may think, and some people are ranting and raving about, oh, anatomy is detail. Hey, you guys, you need to know anatomy to be a good physician. But you can become a physician and not know anatomy and just go and, you know, do whatever comes to your mind. That is also a physician's training, okay? But this training gives you the ability to differentiate and distinguish different diagnoses in this little area. So what are the soft swellings that you can find there? Lymph nodes enlarged, or femoral hernia, or your, you know, what do you call varicose veins, or varicose, you know, varicosity of the saphenous vein. And especially, listen to this, especially if you have varicosity of the other veins in the lower part of the limb. Say you have varicosity, usually varicosity occurs, you know, in the medial part, you know, like around the knee, little below the knee, posterior aspect of the knee, and this part of the lower extremity, medial part, this part here, is where usually you will find varicose veins occurring. So especially if somebody has varicosity there, then look for, you know, the saphenous varix in the femoral, you know, triangle, and differentiate it. That means rule in or rule out other possibilities. That is what I would call, I'll take my hat off to a physician who can rule in and rule out some of the differential diagnosis. Okay, now I've gone over fossa ovalis and all these things and everything, and so here, let me go over here. In relation to the heart, what is the direction of the blood flow in the veins? What is the function of the valves in the vein? Okay, I guess you know that. What is the direction of blood flow to the heart? Venous blood flows toward the heart. And what do the valves in the veins do? What's the function of the valves in the veins? What does it do? It prevents backflow of blood. You know, that's number one, and also prevents the direction of blood flow, because normally it is supposed to be from superficial to deep. Superficial to deep, saphenous vein is going into the deep vein, femoral vein. Just think of that, okay? And then, if the valves in the superficial veins are not working, the blood flow, venous blood flow, can reverse. When it reverses, you know, you will see it as varicose veins. After a long time, because the valves are not functioning in the normal way, and the walls of the veins will become kind of, you know, enlarged and tortuous. Tortuous meaning twisted like that. And so that is by, you know, varicose veins, that's how it happens. Thrombophlebitis, please look up. Varicose veins, you don't have to. Thrombosis, look up. Perforating veins. What are perforating veins? Just like perforating arteries, between the superficial and the deep veins. Blood vessels in the gluteal region, superior gluteal artery, inferior gluteal arteries, both of them you have seen, they're branches of your internal, you know, iliac artery. And then their distribution, you know, the relationship is to the piriformis muscle below and superior, and relationship to the great sciatic nerve. Relationship to the great sciatic nerve, that means relationship to the greater sciatic foramen. they are exiting, both of them. Course, they are forcing in the gluteal region, inferior gluteal artery, the same thing. I'm not expecting the students to know which structures are supplied by the superior gluteal and inferior gluteal arteries. But you will, from looking at them, you know they are supplying because they have anastomosis there, and so therefore they are supplying, you know, the muscles in the region where they are, you know, traveling. And the interpleural artery is printed in the outline, so you can read that. And the gluteal veins, superior and inferior gluteal veins, and they are tributaries of what? Superior and inferior gluteal veins are tributaries of what? Where do they go? The internal iliac vein. She is using, you know, the logic, internal iliac vein. And do they anastomose? Yes, there's anastomosis. What do you understand when you see the term bine comitante? What do you understand? Bine comitantus or bine comitante? Companion veins. The medium-sized arteries, for example, your posterior tibial artery in the leg, anterior tibial artery, your radial artery, your ulnar artery, those are all medium-sized arteries. They have companion veins. You will find them. Why am I going over this? Because in the section lab you will get confused if you don't know what you are, you know, looking at. So that is why I'm going over this here. You may find, say, this is the posterior tibial artery. Here is the posterior tibial artery. And there you have your... No, I should use the blue. So here is one of the posterior tibial veins. Here's the other posterior tibial vein. So right here like that, the anterior tibial, posterior tibial, radial, ulnar, all those, they have these veins are called vene comitante. The terminology is on the outline here. So these veins are called vene comitantes. That means companion veins. But that's only for medium size. That means the brachial vein has no vene comitante. The femoral vein has no vene comitante. The femoral artery has no vene comitante. So the main big arteries have no, you know, companion veins, two on both sides. They don't have that. Only the medium-sized ones you may find. Okay? So when you find that along the anterior tibial or posterior tibial, I don't want you to get, flustered and see, yeah, this looks like a vessel. Now, this is a vessel. There can be three vessels? Yes. These are the places where you can find three vessels. Gluteals, superior gluteal, inferior gluteal also, like that. You would find them like that. The pudendal, internal pudendal artery. Again, please pay attention to this here, the wording here. Internal pudendal artery. You have to say internal. This is important. Internal pudendal artery. You have an internal pudendal artery. Internal pudendal artery in the gluteal region. You have an internal pudendal artery in the gluteal region. Internal pudendal artery is found in the gluteal region, but it does not supply anything there. It does not supply anything in the gluteal region. It is just passing through there, and what it is doing is, but you have to identify it this quarter, this time in the gluteal region, because that's when we can, you know, see it. And so this is more to the sides. Here is your sacral tuberous ligament is here. So right over here, it's exiting, the internal pudendal artery is exiting the pelvis via which foramen? greater. That's right. Greater sciatic foramen. Greater sciatic foramen. And then listen to this. It comes back into the pelvis. Comes back into the pelvis via the lesser sciatic foramen. And then it comes on its way. Then it comes into the perineum. The pudendum. Pudendum. Pudendal. What does pudendum mean? The perineum. The perineum. The perineum. Pudendum. Pudendal pertaining to the pudendum, pertaining to the perineum. So that's why it's called the pudendal. So there's pudendal artery, internal pudendal artery, internal pudendal vein, there is the pudendal nerve. Not internal pudendal nerve, pudendal nerve. Pudendal nerve, okay? And so that is there. And so this note you can read, and the gluteal veins I have included in my discussions there, and so I'm not going to go over it because they are companion veins of the gluteal, you know, arteries. And so right here, okay, lymphatic drainage. Okay, here. Lymphatic drainage of the lower limb. Superficial and deep lymph nodes, superficial and deep lymph vessels is what you would find in the lower extremity. Okay? And superficial and deep, you already know about, you know, the superficial and deep lymph nodes, but I expect you to know what areas are draining into the superficial inguinal lymph nodes. That means if you have enlarged inguinal lymph nodes, what areas would you examine for the source of the infection or the inflammation, you know, sometimes. So here, that is why here you can see the superficial inguinal lymph nodes along the inguinal ligament and along, you know, your great saphenous vein here. And you also have some deep, you know, lymph nodes there. But often you cannot feel the deep lymph nodes. But what you see and feel are your superficial inguinal lymph nodes. So I'd like you to write this down. Superficial inguinal lymph nodes that are, you know, enlarged, if they're seen along the inguinal ligament, right along here, if they are enlarged, you should examine the gluteal region. That means the subcutaneous tissue in the gluteal region. And you should examine the external genitalia. And you should examine the anterior and the lateral abdominal wall. Anterior and lateral abdominal wall. And part of the uterus, part of the anal canal. Part of the uterus and part of the anal canal. So these five or six places, if you have an infection in any of these places, you could have enlarged superficial inguinal lymph nodes. And that you need to know. And along then, of course, superficial ones you also have, you know, along the great saphenous vein. You have some of them along the great saphenous vein. And where do these superficial lymph nodes will drain into? Where they will drain into some of the, you know, vessels here, and the vessels will go and drain into the external iliac nodes. So they are following, just like the veins, the superficial inguinal lymph nodes are draining into those vessels that are lymph vessels that are going into the external iliac lymph nodes, okay? And so the deep lymph nodes, where would you find the deep lymph nodes in the femoral region? Deep lymph nodes medial to the femoral vein. So these are superficial, medial to the femoral vein, little bit deep, you know, as you have the femoral vein is right here. You can see some of them are here, even though you don't see the femoral vein, because what you see here is the great, you know, saphenous vein. And so what are the areas draining into the deep inguinal lymph nodes? What do you think? They are deep inguinal lymph nodes. Just take a guess. deep structures. What are deep structures? Your joints of the lower limb and structures like that. Yeah, bones have, you know, lymph vessels, deep structures. Okay, all drain into the deep lymph nodes in the inguinal region. But the deep lymph nodes, where will they go? From the femoral region to the external ileus lymph nodes that are located, you know, a little bit, you know, inside, you know, there. So that is the lymphatic drainage. Some schools, naturopathic schools, do not stress lymphatic drainage of the body. I really, really strongly encourage people to know lymphatic drainage because it's very important. You know, it's a good thing. It's a diagnostic tool, number one. Number two, you can have, especially breast cancer. Breast cancer can, you know, spread very easily to lymph nodes. If people have axillary lymph nodes enlarged and, you know, if they don't palpate and they don't know what they are looking at, where this area is draining into, I don't think it's a good, you know, training. Of course, they can finish anatomy in two quarters, but, you know, you need to know the lymphatic drainage. Yes, Brendan, wait, yeah. Wait, okay. This thing has a little noise here. Yeah, okay. Deep is very difficult to palpate unless they are really, really big, you know, really enlarged. But in this day and age, most of the times people themselves see or feel something is wrong and they go to the doctors. But you never know. Some people, if they don't have medical insurance, you know, they may take it for a while and then, you know, you don't know where it ends up. And so, that is the lymphatic drainage for the time being. For the time being, okay? Now, I tried as best as I can to do this outline and do the nerves. I have the nerves and what do you call the, some of the other things, femoral sheath and all those things. I don't think I can do justice to any of those things. So what I'll do is, first thing, half an hour on Thursday, I'll finish up this, summarize it, and then go to the knee joint. That's the plan for Thursday. And thank you all. And today's what, Tuesday? I have a tutorial 5 to 6. And, you know, some of the things I, you know, if you didn't follow, you're not able to. I'll have more time, relax. I'm sitting in a chair. You can go over some of the things if you need more explanation. Please come to room 76, 5 to 6. But today is the debate. I need to leave at 5:50, because 5:50, the tutorial is supposed to be 5 to 5:50 today, because 5:50 is, you know, just 10 minutes to get out and just, yes, be ready, yeah. You all have histology? How many people are going to be in the tutorial today? Okay, Brendan is one. Anybody else? You don't, those of you who don't have histology, if you want to come to tutorial, come. Okay, if there's only one or two people, why don't we do like this? Please. Just come and please. This is why I like to know the names. I can just get them, just like that. Just come to my office. No, come to my office, room 343. So I have all the books and I have the bones and I have everything ready and I can go to it. Okay. Thank you all and see you all. Oh, yeah, Pamela.